This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. I'm with Vilas Ocidis, and he's president of the Thielert Owners Group. Now, we've done a lot of stories on the bankruptcy proceedings with the Thielert in Germany. I guess they call it insolvency there. And we've been doing a lot on what could happen, what may happen, and what's probably going to happen. Well, it's now happening. Isn't that true, Vilas?
It's pretty much happening, and it looks like there's some worst-case scenarios that I originally thought were unlikely, and those are looking more and more likely by the day.
Okay, can you describe, first of all, describe your own situation.
Well, the situation really has been this engine was certified under certification where they had a contract to extend the life of the engines, and in the process of extending the life of the engines, they had life limits on parts, such as the gearboxes and clutches, and they have to be replaced at 300 hours. And when the company went bankrupt, then they basically terminated that contract with essentially no regard for safety or safety of flight or continued operations of the fleet. And the administrator of the insolvency basically figured out that he has a effective monopoly on all of the parts for the engines and keeping the engines flying. So in terminating the contract and increasing the prices to exorbitant rates, he's basically using his effective monopoly to squeeze the owners for money.
Okay, so the estimate is that there's about 150 aircraft AOG in the U.S. Is that a fair guess?
There's a total of 152 Diamond Twin Stars in the United States. At any one point in time, about a third of them are AOG with engine problems. There's a large percentage of those that have piston cooling nozzles that have failed in the older 1.7-liter engines, and the solution from the insolvency administrator is to say, oh, well, you have to buy a new engine, which really means you have to buy two new engines, and the new engine you buy has no warranty.
That doesn't sound like a Walmart price to me.
He knows he has a monopoly, and he's going to use it, and you know, there's no other engine you can put on it, so he wants to basically get as much money from the process as possible. You know, we actually have members of the group who have a 4-liter engine, and the operating costs on the 4-liter engines are $300 an hour. Every 100 hours, it's roughly 17,000 euros for just the parts. That doesn't include the labor and inspections and things along those and other consumables. That's just for the gearboxes and the clutches that Thielert requires you to replace.
Okay, well, at the moment, The insolvency administrator, his name is Bruno Kubler, is going through proposals on people who might want to buy Thielert. Given the set of circumstances that you're describing, who in their right mind would buy a company that is in that sort of condition?
Well, fundamentally, the engine, there's two ways to look at it. If indeed the engine, the clutches and gearboxes need to be replaced as often as they claim they need to be replaced, and if indeed they're as expensive as they claim that they are, then, you know, indeed, I have trouble envisioning who would buy them. I know General Atomics buys these engines for the Sky Warrior, which is a version of the Predator unmanned aerial vehicle. And, you know, for them, the cost is not an object and it's not a concern. But as a retail engine, if indeed these prices are accurate, I don't know. They're saying they're getting offers, and these people are doing due diligence, which indicates that, you know, maybe these parts can be manufactured at reasonable prices. The key concern we have is what's going to happen to the owners when somebody does acquire the company. When somebody acquires a company, they can either assume the warranties of the previous company, or they can not assume the warranties and basically leave everybody hanging in the wind, or they can completely abandon the general aviation market. And for instance, if they just want to sell these engines for use for military purposes or recreational non-aviation purposes, and abandon the certificates, you know, in each of those scenarios plays out differently. And, you know, in that latter case, if somebody buys the company and doesn't maintain the aviation business, general aviation business, then the entire fleet of aircraft using Thielert engines will be effectively grounded, and that'll ground about $500 million worth of aircraft worldwide. And, you know, the administrator has made it very clear to us that he is not concerned about the concerns of the owners. And he is not concerned about what the outcome is, but, you know, he has to understand that there's going to be a liability in place for him if he ends up indirectly grounding that amount of value. And if the company that assumes the business that chooses not to support the warranties and so on, you know, every single owner today, either every potential customer of these engines in the future, really, either knows somebody who owns one of these engines or owns one now. And you know, that would basically put that buyer into a position where they're selling these engines into a nuclear wasteland where they can't, I mean, they'll be hard-pressed to find customers willing to buy these engines. And either way, it's a very critical situation for the owners.
Okay, well, certainly the perception is that Diamond is doing everything that it can to ease the burden, but I guess there's only so much that Diamond can do, or is that the opinion of the owners?
Well, Diamond has already announced that they're working on doing certifications for their own parts for these engines, so we're hoping that ends up being gearboxes and clutches and reduces the cost of operating these engines. And so there's some potential relief in sight. You know, the only thing is we don't know how long that's going to take or if they're even going to be successful in doing that. And, you know, there's some concern. The other approach that Diamond's going for is, you know, they're building their own engine. It's based on the same design. It's very different. It's their Austro engine is a cast iron block. It's not aluminum. It's built to be overhauled, not simply replaced at 1,000 hours. It's built to a much higher life limit. And, you know, one of the key differences, they're using a torsion damper instead of a clutch for to dampen the shocks of a diesel engine. And, you know, on paper it looks good, and supposedly they have a plane flying. Actually, we're going to be going to Europe next week to look at the flying Austro model and see how that looks. But, you know, we don't know when that's coming or really what that's going to cost.
Okay, so in the meantime, what do you do?
Most people, either a large number of these planes, about a third of them today are grounded, and they're waiting and hoping for something to happen and planting flowers in them. I think as one owner put it, he's going to park his Twin Star on a post in the middle of the airport and plant some bushes in it as a decoration. And, you know, that's what a lot of people are stuck with doing. The people who still have operable engines, the 2-liter engines are actually quite reliable as far as we've seen. I'm not aware of a single 2-liter engine that has had any catastrophic or substantial failure that's grounded the aircraft. You know, these engines they run quite well, and you keep running them until you reach a clutch inspection, and then see if you want to pony up the $15,000 to $20,000 per engine it takes to get the engine operational again.
Well, we'll be following this, obviously, and you'll be staying in touch. So it was nice talking to you today, and I'm sure we'll be hearing from you again. So thanks very much for your time today, Villis.
Thank you, and have a good day.
Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.